We're back for another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about a problem that I had for a very long time. And maybe it's because of the way I was raised, or maybe it's because I was an engineer. But I always had this fear of selling online. And I thought that was just me, but after talking to a lot of people, it turns out a lot of people have a fear of selling online. So today we're going to talk about how to overcome this fear.
You know, it's interesting. I think the fear of selling is one of the biggest reasons why people fail in online business, because it affects everything that you do when you deal with this. And although I didn't know that you dealt
with this. Are you joking?
Like you just said. Have you told me this before? I know you didn't like to. I know you didn't like the hard sell. I didn't know that it was like.
I don't know if it was a fear. It's very uncomfortable. Is that fear? I don't know. Yeah,
that's probably fear. I mean, it's you. It's you using a word that doesn't.
You should have seen my. Did you ever watch my first webinar? I don't think you were actually on it.
Not the first
sales webinar. I don't even think I knew you then. This was 2011. I didn't know you.
No, you didn't know me. Yeah. I was on your first sales webinar because I was over in there moderating the comments.
I did when I launched.
So
I need to see this footage. In 2011, I used this service called Ustream because I don't think YouTube Live was a thing back then. Yeah, so I used Ustream.
I remember Ustream.
Unless you wanted to pay like $400 a month or something crazy like that, they'd put ads in the middle. So I had ads.
It was only in the beginning,
but it's still awkward, right?
Okay. And what was it for?
I have
for,
no
like,
idea what the ads
products,
were because I couldn't
or,
see them. Only the people watching could see them. Before I started, you know, they'd watch.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
And then I got on and I didn't know what to say because it ended up being just this really awkward 30-minute pitch of me trying to sell my course. But I did sell 35, but
All you did was, well... Okay, interesting. So, did you have like slides
I had
or anything,
slides,
or how did it work?
I don't know if I displayed them. You know, I had them for me for my notes.
Yeah, you're like that cost extra, so I just held up post-it notes.
I don't think there was a way to superimpose my head on the slides, so I just made it a talking head.
Right. You thought what's more appealing, well done PowerPoint slides or my face, and you went. That's what you went with. Okay. This is interesting. We need to have a deeper conversation between the two, honestly.
I think the face is more important than static PowerPoint slides.
I do too. Yes, I agree with you.
Yes, my PowerPoints never look good. That's correct. I was taught pretty early on that you shouldn't even have slides if you can help it, actually.
I disagree with that. I like slides that are engaging.
Yes, or just
pictures.
I don't
want slides with a bunch of text. I want slides with a lot of pictures and very little text. Sometimes I think text is important if you're showing data, but if outside of that, I think the pictures are what sort of keeps your, part of the storytelling.
Yeah. I wish I had that webinar. Maybe I still have it lying around somewhere. I've been trying to.
You probably don't because Ustream probably charged you to keep it too or download it. So you're
so
like,
what ended up happening
that.
Is I just kind of talked about what I was covering in the class and that was okay. But then at the end during the sales part, like all of a sudden I got really timid like this. And then I was like, well, yeah, you know, I kind of have this course that I'm offering and you guys don't have to sign up. Like I'm not telling you to sign up for it or anything, but and it was just really awkward. I think it worked well because there was demand. Like I ended up selling things because there was demand and maybe the awkwardness actually helped. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, who knows? So it's interesting because I think when we say selling, we immediately think about, oh, I'm selling a course or a service or a product. But really, anything in content creation, you're selling something. You're selling your email list. You're selling an affiliate link. You're selling a click-through, right? Like click around on my site, read more. So in everything that you do, you have to sell when you're in the content game. But I think where people really, really struggle is selling their own stuff. It's funny because we have a friend that has a huge e-commerce business but she also has a website and she will admit that it's easier for her to sometimes sell other people's things through affiliates than it is to sell her own products. And when you think about that, it should always be easier for you to sell your own products because you loved them enough to create them. right? You cared enough to go through the process of creating a product, a course, a cert, whatever that is. It doesn't have to be a physical product. It can be anything. But yet I think most of us find that it's easier to sell something else. Just like, you know, I'll post something on Instagram that I'm doing around the house and they're like, oh my gosh, I love those, you know, I love your skillet. And I will sell 50 of those skillets to people because I think it's the greatest skillet ever made and it's nonstick and it washes and it heats up, you know, but if I invented a skillet, I probably wouldn't be afraid to talk about it.
When you're selling your own stuff, that's like self-promotion and it's like you're bragging. Whereas when you're selling someone else's stuff, you know, it's kind of unbiased, impartial. But it kind of is that way, right? Like if I'm promoting someone else's brand, then it's not like I'm bragging about myself.
Right.
I'm bragging about someone else, which is fine. And it's acceptable.
Except where I think that this is where I think this is getting to the core of it right away. I think when you have a product or a service or a course, whatever it is, you should believe it in enough to feel like it's wrong if I don't tell you about it. I'm doing you a disservice if I don't talk to you about what I have.
Okay, so let's go back to my course when I first launched in 2011. I actually launched with nothing. Mm-hmm. So I actually didn't even have that confidence. The only reason I did it is I was like, hey, if I get 10 people, then I'll do it. That was my attitude.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any confidence in what I was going to deliver per se.
That's the can-do spirit. I would say if you have a real, and some people are just like, oh, I'm afraid of selling, but really you haven't ever done it before. So maybe you're not, you haven't even tried it. So I would say if you try it and like you did, you had your webinar and you just stumbled through it and it felt very uncomfortable. Maybe not having anything to actually sell is not the best idea.
If you take away anything from this episode, that should be it.
Now, there are people that are natural sellers. They are salespeople. I think of Tiffany Ivanovsky.
No, I'm sure she was bad in the beginning.
Right. Okay, that's another key is you have to do it. But there are people that even out of the gate are just better at selling than other people. And that's why you find these salespeople that just make so much money commission-wise because they're just so good at selling. That's just in their nature. I have one kid who could sell anything to anybody. They just have that personality. They don't have a lot of fear in that area. So they'll sell stuff they don't even believe in, you know, because that's just their bent. So I think Tiffany believes in everything that she personally sells, but she's always, I mean, I've known her for a really long time. She's always been really good at sales. And so I think, you know, if you have that personality, one, this podcast is not really going to apply to you, but you can launch something that nothing is created in yet. Because you have enough confidence in yourself and believe in it to where you can do it. But if you have a lot of fear, that's not the way to go. You need to have something that you can feel confident in because I think a lot of the fear comes from being not confident in what you have.
All right, so can I just talk about the launch of our course then? Because you didn't have confidence, did you?
Yes.
Right.
I didn't.
Why? And why not? I mean, you just contradicted what you just said, didn't you?
Why did I? Because I said you shouldn't do that if you don't. So I would say that on this selling scale, I would skew to like where I don't mind selling. Like as a kid, I wanted money for summer camp. I went door to door with a wagon full of cookies that I bought at the 7-Eleven and sold them to my neighbors. I did the same thing with like plants and pumpkins. And like I had no problem going and knocking on someone's door that I did not know. I do not recommend this in 2022. But back in 1985, it was fine. So I don't have I have some fear of selling because I don't like to be rejected, but I probably have less of a fear than a lot of people. So I was, my problem with the course that we did was that I wasn't good at creating the course content. Like it took me, I mean, you know, we've talked about this on the podcast a bunch. It took me a couple of hours to do one lesson. Because I was so bad at the whole, like I just wasn't streamlined for me. I hadn't done it before. I wanted the videos to be absolutely perfect. If I made one misstep, I would want to edit it out. So between the recording and the making of this, and I wanted the slides to look like Pat Flynn's, there were all these things that I had expectations on myself for. And so when we started making lessons, and remember that first lesson I had to record like 5 times and then I finally like nailed it and you're like, hey, I hate to tell you this, but your audio is terrible. You're going to have to re-record. And I was like, I quit. I'm done. So when we launched with like three of the 15 modules, in my mind, I was like, there's no possible way I can keep this up. There's no possible way I can spend 6 hours on a lesson. Like, that was where the uncomfortableness came. And there was uncomfortableness in people not wanting it, but I felt like we could eventually get people to want it. But to me, people wanting it came with the content creation, and the content creation was my stumbling block.
Okay. I thought it was the sales process, not the...
Well, it was hard for me to sell something that wasn't done when it was so hard for me to do.
And then we solved that problem by just giving the lessons live, because you're much better live.
I am much better. And I got over, and well, that's you know, a whole other thing wrapped up in just like why people procrastinate and things like that, is that you have this fake sense of perfection. Unless you've got a team behind you in a studio, nothing you put out's ever going to be perfect. So I had to get over the fact that, hey, my slides don't have to be the absolute best slides. Because our whole selling point for all of this was that we gave the best content. We taught you the most. We gave you the most detailed, in-depth instructions. There wasn't anything that we weren't going to cover. So our selling point wasn't like, come to our beautifully produced set and watch our very fancy video edits and learn a little bit about content creation. It was like, put up with our mediocre slides and videos and we're going to teach you everything you need
to
know.
This is actually, a student emailed me the other day in Profitable Online Store. And he said that he sat through this other webinar that teaches e-commerce. And he told me that the price of the class was $7,000. And he said the webinar wasn't even that good.
I've seen,
and he's like, you're way underpriced, is what he said.
You're like, good, you can just PayPal me the other $5,000.
Well, I'm thinking to myself, though, I don't know if I have the confidence to charge that much. And that's like another selling thing, right? But I provide definitely a lot of value. I probably go above and beyond, I would say, most other courses.
Well, okay, so you and I were talking about another course that would be sort of our, I don't view really anybody as our competition, because I think everybody provides different things for different people. But I was showing you somebody who's selling a content creation product, and they were priced double our price, I think it was. I'm not positive what the price was. But they offered live office hours for 3 months.
Right.
And that was it. And then never again. Like, and then everything else is just static. Like, the lessons that are in the course are the lessons. Nothing. And so to me, like, and she has it's a great product. It's well done. She's very articulate. She knows what she's doing. Like, it's nothing against her. But to me, like, as a consumer, this is like a world that changes. Like, TikTok didn't exist.
Right. Oh, so it's still a static. It doesn't talk about any of those things. It hasn't been updated.
I mean, well, it's updated now, but like, okay, in 3 years, right, is this course going to be valuable to me? Right. So I think for us, like one of the reasons why I have a lot of confidence selling what we offer is that I can say, hey, you know what, when things change, when Google has an update, when, you know, a new platform comes out that everybody's using, when Twitter starts reinventing itself, whatever that is, we're going to cover that because we do our lessons live, and we will talk. And if you have a question, don't understand something, we'll just create a lesson for you. So I think to me, that's an easy way for me to sell what we offer, because I have a lot of confidence in that method. I would have a hard time charging $2,000 for something that I personally know will be outdated in 2 years.
So I guess the point of this talk is, I think we all have our complexes. Like, I still have, I'm pretty sure I should be charging more, is what a lot of people tell me, but I just have this complex about doing it. And that's all part of the sales process. So how do you get over the fear? How did you get over the fear of selling?
Well, I think I had to get over the fear because it was like a not fight or flight, but like eat or starve. Like, I really wanted something enough to be able to deal with the negative side of it. Like, I really wanted to go to camp. And so when I started knocking on people's doors, like, the want of going to camp was greater than the fear of someone closing the door.
All right. Well, let's say you didn't have that.
Well, so I think the first thing you need to do is get over rejection, right? You have to be able to deal with people telling you no. Because if you think about this, I don't know how many people were on your first webinar. Let's just say there were 100 people on your first webinar, or 100 people viewed it at some point during your sales process. 35 people bought. Well, 65 people said no to you.
I mean, not directly. But
I mean, it is the no.
I guess, but it's different than...
Right? You're like, well, now that you say it's that way, than I'm someone never doing like you it again.
Offering something to somebody and them saying, no, thanks, I'm not interested.
But I think that's why people are afraid to sell is they, what if you did your webinar and three people signed up?
Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't have felt good.
That's right. The fear. That's the fear though of everybody. Like they're going to have something to sell, whatever it is. And they're going to do a webinar or put up a landing page, sales page, whatever it is. And one person is going to buy it or two people are going to buy it. I think that's a good thing. I mean, it's a bad thing in that it didn't meet your expectations, but it's a good thing in that if you're getting rejected, then it's an opportunity for you to go, okay, what do I need to do different so that I'm not rejected? Do I just not have a large enough pool? I mean, if you put something up and 10 people see it and one person says yes, that's actually really good. But if you put something up and 1,000 people see it and one person says yes, then that's a sign that maybe you're off base. Maybe you're not off. Maybe you don't have the right offer. Maybe you don't. Maybe your price is wrong. Maybe your price is too low. Maybe people are like, man, that's too good to be true, right? I mean, if you were to offer your e-commerce course right now for like $199, I mean, yes, you would have people buy it because it's $199, but you'd probably have a lot of people going, I don't know. That seems too low, right? It's like when I was in New York last weekend and, you know, there's the guy selling, you know, Louis Vuitton purses on a table in Chinatown. Like, you know, those aren't Louis Vuitton purses, right? So I think maybe your price point is wrong. Maybe you're too high. Maybe you're too low. Maybe you're targeting the wrong people. Maybe the audience isn't right. So I think the rejection is good because it allows you to go back and reevaluate what you're doing and maybe make some adjustments. So the rejection is probably an opportunity for you to make adjustments to whatever it is that you're selling or how you're selling it.
You know, what's funny is I was just chatting with Derek Halpern, and we were just kind of sharing stories about our kids. And my daughter actually sometimes has problems even saying hi to her friends for some reason.
Oh, yes. I have one of those.
Like they're good friends, but then when she sees them, she doesn't even say hi to them like on the street.
It's very weird. I don't understand it.
So he told me that he was always afraid of that too as a kid. And he was afraid of selling and all that stuff. But one thing that he did was he forced himself just to say hi to someone, 10 people a day, total strangers. And over time, that desensitized him to just talking to random people. And that allowed him to overcome like the fear of just kind of speaking in public. And then that also helped him on the sales front as well.
I actually think that's an awesome tip. One of the things that I started doing a while ago, and this was because I don't remember where I was. I was probably at a conference and some random person that I didn't know came up to me and told me they liked something that I had. It was like my dress or my bag or I don't know what it was, but they gave me a very out of the blue compliment. And it literally like changed my whole day. Like I wasn't having a great day. And then all of a sudden my day just completely turned around from this total stranger who I never saw again. She just came up and said something nice. And so I thought, you know, if that did such a like turnaround on my day, like wouldn't that be great if I could do that for somebody else? So I always try when I'm out in public to like if I see, and obviously it's not going to be fake. It's going to be something that I'm genuinely mean. But I think that's helped me too. The same thing. Like you just don't, you get over your fear of just like randomly saying something to somebody that's nice. And it just gets you more comfortable with just being in public and talking in public. And because it's easier just to keep to yourself.
Yeah, it is. By the way, I don't remember ever getting compliments from you in public.
Yeah, I try to do it to people that like look like they deserve compliments.
Oh, ouch. Ouch.
But that kind of piggybacks into one of the other things is that the more you do it, the easier it gets. Like that's exactly what Derek was saying. Like the more he spoke in public, just randomly, the easier it got in everything when it came to speaking in public. And I think that's the same with the more you sell, the easier it is to sell. So even I think if you practice selling other people's things, through either copy or live video or anything like that. I mean, I wouldn't do like a full-on webinar to sell someone else's product necessarily. But, you know, the more you just practice that being convincing and genuine, the easier it's going to be even when you sell your own stuff.
You know, what's funny is my buddy Noah Kagan, he actually sells a course that I think it's teaching you how to make your first $1,000. Mm-hmm. And the first lesson in that course, because he showed it to me, is you have to go to Starbucks and you have to ask for a 10% discount.
Ugh, no.
I think that's a little extreme, right? But
it works.
I mean, the whole point is to just break outside of your comfort zone. And a lot of times that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
I think saying hi to someone random is a better stepping stone.
Because it's easier.
Yeah. Well, it's less embarrassing.
He's not wrong. And it that comes from a book.
Oh, does it really?
Yes, it comes from a book. And oh my goodness, I don't remember the book, but he uses an example of it was during the Olympics, and the guy went to a donut shop, and he would like just practice making like obscure requests. Not like awful, but like he went to like a Krispy Kreme or something like that and asked if they could do this donuts in the shape of the Olympic rings. Like in the box or something like that. And that just like totally set, because it was like super uncomfortable to ask that, right? Like, because you're like, oh, you're inconveniencing somebody or whatever. But he talked about using it to like get over your fear, is doing things like that, going and making these kind of weird requests that aren't unreasonable to help get over your fear of asking something of somebody else.
Huh, interesting. I vaguely remember that story, actually.
Yes, it's in I think you've read the book, too. I cannot remember the name of the book to save my life, but I just that example just really stood out to me.
So it's one thing to say that you're going to force yourself to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd be able to do that on my own. So for me, like the way I develop confidence is by just being confident about what I'm promoting.
Yes.
Right? So If I put my best foot forward, I use that word a lot, or that phrase a lot, then, you know, hey, at least I made the maximum amount of effort to put out something good, and so whatever happens, happens. That's not the way I think about it for anything that I do now, actually.
Well, and that sort of goes along with, you have to believe that what you have is going to help somebody. Like, I think you truly believe, and I think you're right, if someone takes your course and follows the steps, they're going to either be able to create, you know, a really great content site that will lead them to opportunities to create income from a variety of different ways. Or in the e-commerce course, you're going to show people how to sell products on the internet. And if they follow the steps, they'll be able to do it. I mean, and so I think when you believe in that, which is why I think it's so important, like, and we get these questions all the time from people, it's like, hey, I don't really know what to write about or to talk about. I kind of want to write about this, even though I have literally zero experience, never done it in my life, blah, blah, blah. Like, no. Because you can't confidently sell that. It's like, we have a student in our course named Pilar, who's a flight attendant. And she's written like 4 or 5 ebooks already. And she's teaching people like how to be a flight attendant and travel tips. And she's created these brochures that like travel companies are purchasing from her. And she's got the most, like, she's got so much confidence in what she's doing, because she's like the biggest expert in like travel and flights and being a flight attendant. And so, you know, but it would be silly if someone who'd never been a flight attendant was like, hey, I think I'm going to write a course on how to become a flight attendant.
You know what's, like, yeah. I was just thinking to myself, like, I had this problem growing up too, where I didn't think that I knew more than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, there's always these like weird things that you're really into that you do know more, and you it won't really come out unless you talk to other people about it.
Right. And you don't have to know the most. You just have to know enough.
You just have to know more than the person that that you're helping.
Yeah. So like don't go into financial planning if you're like hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt and don't know what an IRA is. But, you know, I feel like for the most part, everybody has something that they are good at and they're passionate about that they can confidently teach or sell to somebody else.
I mean, I think the number one problem that we have actually with students and content in our course is they don't think of themselves as the expert.
Right.
And this might not be considered selling, but in a way, when you're putting something down on paper, like whether it be a blog post or whatnot, it kind of is a form of selling, right?
Yeah.
So again, it's just, if you're putting something down on paper, you don't have to think of yourself as the expert. You're just putting down your own experiences. And that's not, and just the expression of yourself on paper is like selling yourself out to the public.
That's true, actually, which is why people struggle to get started.
I mean, it's the same thing as saying hi to somebody.
Yeah.
Because you're putting your own private thoughts now on paper.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's good for everyone to do this.
So another thing that I think is helpful for people, and this is like one of my little tricks that I do with just about everything in life that I don't like, is to create some sort of incentive for yourself. So, you know, maybe you're afraid to do a webinar, or you're afraid to create a live video where you're going to talk about a new course or training that you have coming out. Give yourself an incentive for doing it. If I go live 3 times this week, then I'm going to allow myself to go do XYZ, or I'm going to, you know, just something. Create something where it incentivizes you to do it. Or let's just say, hey, I'm going to launch this course and whatever, you know, say it's priced at $100. You know, if I can sell 10 courses, I'm going to give myself $200 of that $1,000 to just blow on whatever I want. Right. So create some incentive for yourself to, it's just kind of like, this is for non-Asians. Why did all of us like read books in elementary school so we could get that free Pizza Hut pizza, right? You wanted to be part of that like little book club where you filled out the little book reader thing over the summer and you got your free personal pan pizza at the end.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but okay.
You didn't know about the Pizza Hut like book program?
No.
So it was like every summer, and if you read so many books, you got, there was like a little bookmark, and at the end of the summer, you got to take the bookmark into Pizza Hut, and you got a free personal pan pizza.
I just read books because I had
to. I know. That's why I said this is for non-Asians, okay? But don't you remember doing things as a kid for like being in, probably not, but like most of us did.
Yeah, I mean, my parents had incentives like, hey, you're allowed to go out to play.
Yeah. You don't have to scrub the chimney.
All right. So here's actually what fundamentally changed my view of just selling in general. If you think about it, like your whole life is sales.
Yes.
Right. Like even if I'm like having an argument with my wife or whatnot, mm-hmm. in a way, my ability to convince her that I'm right, which is never the case, yes. is all about sales, right?
Yeah, you keep doing it. What is it that helps you keep going?
Even working with you, there's a lot of sales involved, right?
Yes.
I'm just trying to think, like today you came up to me in the talk and you said, hey, we have to record another episode. And I was like, oh, my schedule is packed. She's like, we're gonna record another episode. Just my schedule is open, so just pick a time. I'm like, ooh, okay.
Sales tactic.
Right. I mean, you had such conviction, you didn't even smile. I mean, that was sales, right?
Yeah.
Just the act of convincing anybody to do anything is sales. And so that's why it's an important skill to practice. You might not think of it that way, but that's really how it is. Like, I remember at work, one of my jobs as a director was convincing everybody to get along and work with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone has their own interests, right? So I would have to have some give and take, and then I would have to convince people to do favors for another group so that the machine just kept rolling out and we made forward progress with the project, right? When I asked for raises, again, that's sales too, because you got to sell yourself to get that raise.
Yep.
I mean, sales is probably the number one most important skill in life, I would say.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I totally agree with you. I have like 50 things I want to say about all that. But I think in everything that you do, you have to sell something, whether it's yourself, an idea, an opinion, an actual product. And so I think it's really important to get over your fear of, because most things don't sell themselves.
I mean, I got tons of stories about this because maybe it's just a cultural thing, but we're brought up not to do that as Asians. And when my dad raised me, actually, one of my dad's philosophies was, if you just work hard, then things will come to you. And so he never got like raises. He was just working hard. And I just remember he just worked so hard, he wasn't getting rewarded for it. And it was only later that I discovered that, at least in America, maybe it works differently in Asia. In America, you got to ask for what you want.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah. Anyway, I got a lot of baggage in this area, so that's why I'm passionate about the topic.
But yet, at the same time, you still now do webinars once a month, at least.
Yep.
You're able to sell.
I don't consider that sales anymore, actually. It's all how you think about it. It's just giving a presentation that adds a lot of value, and then people will naturally want what you have. Like the sales portion of it is only like 5 minutes.
Yes, I would agree with you. And I think that is, I think that's one of the key factors in one, selling, and then two, persuading people to buy, is that just exactly what you said. Well, I'm not really selling. I'm giving them this whole presentation. So think of how your mindset has shifted. I'm not really selling. I'm giving them a free presentation.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good way to think about it, I guess. I just think my first webinar, I provided zero value though.
Which is probably why you had one of the many reasons why you had a hard time. But if you can change your mindset to say, look what I'm giving people. It's that whole, you know, it's like the companies that mail you like address labels and then ask you for donation. Do you have that where you are? Or is that
yes,
another
we do.
Obscure
no,
reference?
We do. Yeah, okay. No, we do. Yeah.
It's like, you know, there's that whole mentality of like once you've been given something from someone, you have this feeling of debt to them.
Yes.
Whether it's accurate or not. So for you, it doesn't feel like a sale because you feel like I'm providing so much value that if I want to talk about my course at the end, that's not a big deal. I've given them enough value over the last hour to kind of balance that out.
And this sounds really like cocky.
No, you have to be to sell.
But I think that in your mind, you have to believe that you're doing the other person a favor.
Yes.
Right? And it's not like you asking for something. It's like you're offering to help somebody.
Yes.
I mean, these are all little mindset things, I guess, that come into play with sales. I remember, so I used to work in an engineering firm. And one of my good friends there was actually the head of sales over there. And occasionally he'd pull me into these meetings. And I would just ask him, like, how do you sell like our product was like millions of dollars. And I asked [S2] Yeah. [S1] Him, well, how do you sell to these engineers and whatnot? And then he was like, well, what you got to do is everyone in this room wants something different. Mm-hmm. And so you got to find out what that is and then offer that to them. And I was like, well, okay, well, how do you find out what everyone wants? And he's like, well, that involves talking to them and just asking them lots of questions. And I was like, huh, okay. I know that has nothing to do with like the confidence of selling, but...
It does, and here's why. If you talk to somebody, let's just think about this. Just say you're out with a bunch of friends and you're out to dinner. You're just having like a casual conversation and someone says, oh, like I so hate, this is not relevant to you. I'm sure you've never had this conversation. Like my vacuum sucks. It's terrible. Doesn't get any dog hair up, blah, 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 whatever. Like I've had these conversations, right? And you're like, oh my God, I have I got the Shark, the robot vacuum. It's so amazing. Like I just run that thing around my house. It's so easy. But you know what I mean? Like I know this person's need and now I'm meeting it with my solution, which is obviously like the vacuum that I like. So when you talk to somebody and you find out, like say you're at a conference and you're talking to somebody and this person is like, oh, I can't figure out how to like talk to vendors overseas. Like I can't figure it out. Like I'm not getting anywhere. They're not responding to me. Or I get to this point and then everything seems to fall apart. It would be very easy for you to say, oh, well, listen, this is perfect. So, you know, and obviously they know you have a course or whatever. So you're like, in my course, I have a whole script you can use. I talk about the ins and outs. There's a lot of tactics that you probably don't know about because there's a cultural difference there. You found their need and you're able to meet it with what you have and doesn't even feel like something. You're like excited to help them because you're like, oh my gosh, I can help you. This is so easy. Like once you do this, you're going to be on your way. And it totally changes the dynamic. It doesn't feel like you're like walking up to somebody and being like, hey, here's my business card. Do you know I have an e-commerce course? I can help you import items from overseas and sell them on Amazon. You know, like, no.
So what you're saying, Tony, is that you need to listen to people.
Yes, you do.
Okay. By the way, this applies to like blogging and content creation. Like it helps to just actually communicate with some of the people on your list or ask them questions, because then you can figure out what they want, and that'll give you more confidence to sell what you have to sell when the time comes.
That's the topic of the office hours today.
Is it really?
It's validating and pre-selling your course. Yeah.
Ah. Okay. Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
It's all stuff you've already done. So nothing new for you.
Probably just not putting down on paper though, right? There's a lot of things that we both do that we don't even think about anymore, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I think that's a really good point, though, is that if you are afraid of selling, talk to people, find their pain point, and then meet their need. Because if someone says to you, oh, I don't know how to do this, and you can say to them, well, I do, and I can show you how, that doesn't feel like selling. It feels like you're helping them, because you are helping them.
Incidentally, this is like, you know my MO, like at events, like at night, like over a couple of drinks, I'll talk to random people.
Yeah.
And they always, somehow they always end up telling me like what their needs are or what
yes.
And you know, it's just a matter of listening.
Yeah. Which I think is one of the keys to making it less uncomfortable, because if you feel like you're helping somebody, it doesn't feel quite as much like selling. But at the end of the day, I think you have to be okay with selling yourself and charging. And I think that's the other thing people struggle with, is feeling like they're not that they're not worthy, but people are afraid to charge for their time. Here's the thing. It's funny. Like if you're selling a coffee cup, right? The coffee cup costs you $1. You got to put it on Amazon. There's fees associated with that, shipping, whatever. It's pretty easy to do like a logical equation and say, well, I need to sell this coffee cup for $15 to make money. But people seem to, when it comes to something that's not a physical product, it seems like, well, I can't charge for my time. I can't charge for my services. I can't charge for my knowledge that I spent 20 years gaining. People somehow, all that falls apart when it's not something that you can touch.
Yeah, totally. Just to kind of wrap this up here, I think everyone needs to practice a small form of rejection. Like just saying yes. Hi to random people, I think helps.
Yeah. Do it in a big city where everyone's mean.
Like New York, maybe.
No. They're actually weirdly friendly, but yes.
You know what's funny is like I remember in New York, I used to never look at anyone. I used to just stare at the floor. In California, everyone was a lot more friendly.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, so practice a little bit of rejection. And just in your mind, realize that this is the greatest skill that you'll ever have in your life for anything. That's all encompassing. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.